let me mute my computer. Good morning, everyone. I'm still echo. Hold on, just make technical problems. It says mute. Test again. I'll just get off of this, I guess. Okay, one more test. Okay, good. All right, I'll now call to order the meeting of the TCU Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. I'm showing it is 10:02. And we will now call the roll. For the record, Charles Allred.
Present.
Good. Roland Bieber. Michelle Carter.
Here.
Lloyd Graham is here. You can stay here if you want. Adam Haynes. Justin Hyland.
Here.
Hugh Landrum.
I'm here, Bob.
All right. Martha Landwehr. Bill Longley.
Here.
Greg Maxim.
Here.
Mike Nancy.
Here.
Cyrus Reed.
Here.
All right. I see that we do have a quorum. Our public policy for our comments for the committee is basically as it has been in the past. We welcome any input from the public, either in person or online. And as a general comment, I'll just say throughout this meeting, and I don't know where it's going to go totally, but I will intentionally pause at times and to give adequate information or opportunity, and Elizabeth will be monitoring, and maybe someone else will be monitoring if there's any hands raised. Since if you're joining on Teams, if you sense an awkward time where for you to speak up, I suggest that you click the hand raised, and she will recognize you, and we'll go from there. So, any general comments from the committee members and TCU staff before we get started? All right, we'll go on to item number two, which is, I don't want to read it exactly to you, but for the public, I guess I can, with new EPA regulations, preliminary discussion of eligibility for TCQ tax relief regarding methane for oil and gas facilities, coal combustion residue, and other property. And as a reminder, Cyrus brought this up in our last meeting, and this one and the next item on the agenda. So this is a discussion, and I was careful to say preliminary discussion because I didn't want to imply to the public that we plan to vote on anything today. At least that's not my intent anyway. So with that, I'm open to discussion on any EP. Well, before that, I will say that as I represent Texas Oil and Gas Association, it's my understanding from my contacts that the EPA final rule on methane could happen as early as this month. I don't know what others are hearing, TCQ or otherwise, but
yeah. This is Cyrus. I'm hearing exactly the same thing, and it's, you know, partially the proposal came out in November of 2022, so I think a lot of people on both sides of the issue have been waiting. But what we're hearing is they may make an announcement around the time of the COP23 meeting, which starts November 30th, which means they would have to, you know, have something published right around that time. So we're hearing, you know, sometime relatively soon, within the next 2 weeks, there should be a final rule. And I don't know whether it will look very much like the rule that was published in November of 2022, or it will look different, but I would expect there'll be a rule published sometime soon. That's what we're hearing.
Okay. All right, Elizabeth?
Yes, this is Elizabeth Sartano with the TCEQ. We haven't heard anything official, but yeah, we do expect a final rule by the end of the year.
All right. Any other comments? All right. Well, it sounds like this could be on another agenda early next year or sometime. So we'll go to item number 3, preliminary discussion of eligibility for TCEQ tax relief for carbon capture, utilization, and sequestration property. And for those of you go ahead.
I don't know if this would be a question for Elizabeth. Once the final rule is published, and we all know that in any rule, there's always going to be legal challenges from one side or the other. The Sierra Club is often involved on one side or the other. But assuming a rule goes forward, would TCEQ analyze the rule to make sure that any required measures or equipment that, you know, midstream or upstream oil and gas facilities would be required to add, would be somewhere on the list, or what would the process be?
So this is Elizabeth again. We would review the rule. I know you guys are aware of the Quad OC, which would require the state to develop rules for existing sources, and those rules wouldn't be effective at the time the federal rules are. So I wanted to mention that. And property that is used for pollution control purposes that meets all the criteria for the program is eligible. It may not be on the Tier 1 list, of course, so applicants could file Tier 2 or Tier 3 applications. We would review those applications just like we would any other application that comes in. I would say that this committee is free to provide advice for revising the Tier 1 table list at any time. So you guys can make those recommendations as you see fit.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks.
I don't want to go too quickly. Any other comments? All right. Now we'll go to item 3, as I just read, for CCUS. I did prepare a PowerPoint presentation just as an overview. And this is not, and I'll be quick to say there's no position taken on this, no recommendation. This is just what is CCUS. And that's what it's intended to do. So I have a PowerPoint slide that I think we're about to, and there's only, there's a cover slide and 3 slides. There's not much to this. So, and Elizabeth just walked away. She said she's going to drive it. Okay, she's got it up. Good. So, and I prepared this. I'll give you a little background. I've been working in Louisiana on an issue for the last 9 months or longer on CCUS, and it's not completely applicable. In fact, it's vastly different, but at least the what is CCUS part of it, I was able to use some of those slides for over here. So just for our education, there could be some members of this committee that may not be as aware of what CCUS is. So that's the point of this. So if we'll go to the next slide, is just what is CCUS, and the C part of it is the capture, and it's just the emissions from sources like coal-fired power plants and industrial facilities, and which either reuses or stores it so it doesn't enter the atmosphere. And by the way, as I'm going through this, I don't pretend to be an expert on CCUS. I've gotten this from research and from a lot of other people in the industry that I've coordinated issues with. So if anybody on this committee has anything they want to comment on as we go through this, feel free to jump in. So the next part is the carbon technologies. Just to let you know that at least I've been told that these are the very high level technologies that are used in carbon capture, pre-combustion, which is primarily for industrial processes, and post-combustion, which is primarily for power plants, and then oxy-fuel combustion systems. And again, this is not intended to be all-inclusive, but this is high level. Now we go to the utilization, and typically it's either CCU or CCS, from my knowledge of this. So it's not, CCUS is just kind of an umbrella, just one term, but it's usually either CCU or CCUS. But the U part of it, utilization, is you either convert the CO2 into something you use for a usable product, or you don't convert it, and it goes into EOR, enhanced oil recoveries or reservoirs. And this has been used since the 1980s, as far as I know, or maybe even further back than that. It's been around a long time. And of course, back then it was pulled from natural sources, not from captured. But so the last part, the S part, is the injected CO2 into deep underground geological formations for permanent storage. Storage is a term that's often used, and sometimes that's confused. It's like it's not intended as a cavern that you can withdraw the CO2 from. It's intended to be permanent storage, at least in the context that I've had discussions on. So the next slide really has been instructive to me and a lot of people that I've worked with. And of course, this is just from looking at various sources on the internet. TCEQ might have better sources, I don't know, but this was just something that just kind of got our attention as we were working through this in Louisiana. And it basically, you capture the carbon. I'm kind of restating what was on the previous slide, except this is just in a diagram format. And it helps me somewhat because it goes, you see, you get to the fork in the road several times. And it's either you store it permanently, but if you use it, you don't convert it, and it goes into EOR. Or if you do convert it, it goes into various uses. So does anyone, before I go any further, does anybody have any comments on this, elaborate, questions? Not that I can answer all questions. Okay. Then we'll go to the last slide, which is just stats only. This came from the EPA, and just to give you an idea of how many reporting facilities are out there, and how much is being sequestered versus I'll just start with supply first. You can see it's captured versus produced, and then the primary end uses. It's primarily for enhanced oil recovery at this time. So you might wonder why this is on the agenda if sequestration is not as big of an issue right now. I will say, and I'm kind of falling back, I don't have Texas stats. Maybe I should have Texas stats, but since I've worked, like I said, Louisiana the last 9 months or so on this issue, there were 13 announced projects over there, hundreds of millions of dollars. And a lot of companies are trying to model for 20 to 25 years in their economics how property taxes should fit into those economics. So I know the purview of this committee is, as I understand it, is basically to advise if something is pollution control or not. It's just kind of that simple. Or if it's partial, we have occasionally veered into that. That's not ideal either. But I think everyone has agreed to. So with this very high level, and again, this is the last slide, so this is intended as a kind of a, those of you that have not, for whatever reason, gotten involved in CCUS, this is just a high-level education to the extent it's been helpful. So with that, I will open it up again. Any questions before we close this slide or this PowerPoint, and we just start talking about what's on the agenda, which is any advice for a preliminary discussion? Maybe we should go back to slide 3 while we have a discussion. It might help a little bit. The diagram. Okay. So a few days ago, I forget if it was Thursday or Friday, I sent an email to the advisory committee basically reminding you of the TCEQ tax relief website on TCEQ's website that has our advice, our past advice. So in just a reminder is in 2015, we provided advice to TCEQ commissioners. And I will read, it's a one page, but I will read a short, very short paragraph, which the recommendation is, and it's got a rationale, but I'll just read the recommendation. The advisory committee advises that carbon capture, utilization, and storage, CCUS, equipment installed at an existing power plant now has an adequate environmental rule in place to provide a basis for eligibility of CCUS equipment for a positive use determination if other program requirements are met. I know there's a lot in that short paragraph. It could be a lot of interpretation. The advisor, I encourage you, if you haven't seen this, especially those of you in the public that haven't seen this, again, go to, you can search on TCEQ Advisory Committee, and it'll probably take you to our site, and down toward the bottom, there's advice from the beginning of this committee since 2010. So you will see all of that. And CCUS is one of these on there. So again, I don't want to be doing all the talking in this meeting. So anyone, I'll just open it up.
What the basis, I know I was there and I probably supported it, but what was the basis of there being actual rules in place when we made that recommendation?
I think Mike can answer that.
There was a proposal that,
by the way, the vote was 11-0, just for the record on this. And there was a couple of members that were not present. But anyway, that's the background. And I'll let Mike, if you don't mind, answering that question.
Yeah, you bet. So, hi, everybody. It's been a while since I've actually been here in person, so I'm glad to not be on Zoom. But for those of you who are, I'll try to be real clear. So in the rationale of the statement that we all voted on, we specifically talked about, the sentence I'll read from the second sentence of the rationale paragraph, the fact that the EPA has not mandated facility or source-specific emission limits or technology does not detract from the fact that, and here's the key words, carbon dioxide is regulated by EPA as a pollutant under the Federal Clean Air Act, is subject to the best available control technology, BACT reviews by both EPA and TCEQ, and thus satisfies the constitutional and tax code environmental rule prerequisite. So if you're looking for a rule citation, the PSD BACT trigger is in 40 CFR 55.21, and that is the rule section that was actually at one of the things that was on the dispute list before the Supreme Court when it issued the UARG case. And in that case, the Supreme Court...
I know you used an acronym.
Yeah,
UARG.
Okay. I'll be at UARG. So utility, really creative name for a national industry association, Utility Air Regulatory Group, UARG, was a national association of power plant owners that litigated the tailoring rule, which was a part of the EPA's efforts to regulate carbon dioxide from all industrial sources, not just power plants. The court did not like the tailoring rule, struck it down because EPA basically created a new set of threshold numbers, and the statute itself already had numbers. So the court ruled that, well, you know, we're not going to let you create numbers when the Congress already gave you a set of numbers, but very important part for this discussion, we are going to allow EPA to regulate carbon dioxide under its BACT provisions for those entities that are anyway sources, meaning they have a federal permit, a PSD permit anyway, air quality permit. PSD acronym is Prevention of Significant Deterioration. It's just the term used to describe the federal permitting regime that is administered by the state in addition to the state's own state law-based permitting requirements. So this reference here was just to invoke that EPA is conducting BACT reviews for facilities after the UARG decision. Texas was not alone in its legal challenge to the tailoring rule and to the PSD permitting. That litigation was resolved by the Supreme Court decision. And so whatever uncertainty existed before about what was and was not going to be the requirements in Texas were really resolved. And so since that time, Texas has been, in conjunction with EPA, administering BACT reviews for carbon dioxide for facilities that have PSD permits.
Elizabeth, do you happen to have that advice from 2015 that you can pull up? If you don't, that's fine. I just thought if the public, it might be good to put that on the screen.
Yeah, just give me a minute.
Okay, all right.
So that's a good reminder, and thanks for reminding us. It's hard for me sometimes to remember all the court cases and what the results have been. But in the meantime, I will say EPA, I think, learning from maybe their unsuccessful attempt the first go-round, does have a proposal, and I put it in the chat, for a new power sector carbon rule. And again, I'm sure it will be, you know, it's only a proposal, it will be litigated. But if some part of that does stick, that will not only, you know, confirm regulating CO2, but actually put in some BACT requirements in terms of if you want to continue to operate certain plants or new plants, you have to have you know, some portion of it, depending on the source, but some portion of it has to be carbon capture. So that's not only regulating CO2, but actually putting in a CCUS requirement, at least on some types of fuels. That would be, you know, really significant, that's not going to happen tomorrow, right? But something to watch out for as well.
Thanks, Cyrus.
And I guess I'd clarify one thing. Thank you for bringing that up, Cyrus. That rule is being promulgated under Section 111 of the Federal Clean Air Act, and the standard there is Best System of Emission Reductions, BSER. That's the standard that the EPA uses to determine which technologies will be required. That is independent and parallel to the BACT requirement, just to make sure we get the acronyms right. BACT is something that will move forward and in an ongoing way still have to be reviewed under the permitting program. What the 111 rule Cyrus was invoking does is create an additional requirement for both new and an existing power plants that they're subject to that BSER standard, which EPA has articulated in the context of both gas and coal-fired power plants to include carbon capture for some facilities.
Yeah, carbon capture and potentially also hydrogen blending in some cases. So, yeah, you're right. Sorry, I got the wrong acronym, as I often do.
No, and it wasn't so much to correct. It was just to explain. It's really good to think about those two rules as parallel. EPA has authorities under multiple sections of the Clean Air Act it can choose to use. The BACT PSD permitting avenue is already in place, and they're adding 111 to that.
I think you've partially answered part of this question, but sometimes I need to, repetition helps me. The committee, provided this advice back in 2015. So that's 8 years ago. There have been, I don't know about regulatory changes that much since then, but I do know there's been a lot more interest in carbon capture since then, and there's been some changes that came about because of that that interest. So if you will tell us in other words, is there more of a requirement towards CCUS since 2015, or is there less, or what might help us? And again, I'm not trying to chase a rabbit. Sure. That's just,
I mean, I think
maybe relevant.
A few things are in motion. Carbon capture projects have been pursued both to achieve company-based carbon reduction goals and to actually, frankly, commercialize a technology or attempt to commercialize a technology as a regulatory hedge in case they get into a situation like EPA is proposing now where it could become a mandate, right? So I think it's accurate to say that there's a trend of more carbon capture projects being pursued both conceptually and in reality. Another major contributor to the pursuit of those projects is that in two separate enactments, Congress has both enhanced the federal production tax credit applicable to carbon capture, 45Q, and more recently made it more robust, a little bit bigger in terms of what is eligible, both carbon capture and storage, as you described it, where it's just permanently stored, and then carbon capture utilization and storage, which can include the use of the carbon dioxide, and for example, an enhanced oil recovery project. The federal tax laws now explicitly recognize both of those and have numbers associated with them. So that's led to more projects being considered.
And I'll just add another component that I've discovered or observed is the ESG component of it. And careful how we get into that, environmental, social, governance, but it does you can improve the environmental score of that,
yeah,
of a company. And so that is, in other words, CCUS is not necessarily a normal capital investment project where you expect a certain return off and the return on the investment. It has other drivers. So, and I only mentioned that to say that this is relevant because it's becoming a bigger issue. It's not just a theoretical possibility. Mm-hmm. It is becoming more of an issue where I think it's within the scope of more in the scope of this committee. Any other comments? Cyrus, do you have additional comments?
It was more of a question. I know there have been some, demonstration projects like the Petronova one that was active for a while at Parrish by NRG. I think maybe they sold that to someone else, and I'm not really clear on what happened with it. Have any companies, I guess this is a question for GDQ, have any companies thus far from any of these demonstration projects actually applied for under Prop 2 for any equipment related to carbon capture? Is that something that's already happened, or have we not seen it yet?
This is Elizabeth. The short answer is no. No applications have been submitted.
So all that, I assume what happened is in Petronova, they got federal funding and they, I don't know if that ever went on the tax rolls or, I'm not sure, but.
There have been, just to clarify, there have been no applications since Petronova.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with, as far as the tax situation with Petronova, that would probably be a question for their appraisal district.
Yeah, to be clear, Petronova was given a positive use determination for its carbon capture project. It was given given the benefits of the state of the law after the UARC decision, right? So they had a PSD permit-driven basis for the CO2 reduction equipment. And on that basis, the positive use determination was made.
And even though, and I know some of that CO2, at least some of it, wasn't sequestered but went to an oil field, and I don't know that it actually, you know, I don't know how well it worked or whatever, but did that come into play in terms of the revenues from selling the CO2 for oil recovery? Was that looked at, or were they considered kind of separate issues?
This is Elizabeth again. I'm going to caveat this by saying I did not review this application. I'm not intimately familiar with it, but what I believe happened is this was a Tier 3 application that was submitted, so any marketable product, in this case, the carbon dioxide, would have been taken into account as far as determining the use percentage. And I believe this application received a 100% use determination for the carbon capture property.
That is, okay. This is Greg Maxim. That is correct.
But it did go through some sort of determination on whether there was a revenue stream, et cetera.
It did.
Yes, it would have followed the rules in Chapter 17 that were in place at the time.
Got it. Okay.
And Cyrus,
Bob,
just...
It's Adam Haynes.
Go ahead, Adam.
I'm sorry, it's Adam Haynes. I jumped on late, so A, recording my presence here, but B, question for all the smart folks on the call, much smarter than me. Is carbon a regulated pollutant by the TCEQ?
Well, I'll reiterate what I said earlier, and I'll let TCEQ weigh in on their opinion. The state of Texas vehemently opposed EPA's regulation of carbon dioxide under the Clean Air Act, and I submit will probably continue to do so in different programs like the 111 program. But as it relates to the PSD permitting program, Adam, EPA oversees that federal permit program, but TCEQ administers it. So it is currently conducting CO2 BACT reviews under the Clean Air Act in the PSD permitting program. Yes.
So for all major sources?
Yeah.
That trigger federal permit. Okay.
Good questions. Any other?
I'll add one thing, which has to do with this question of, okay, so they're regulating carbon dioxide under the Clean Air Act generally. They're doing so through this permitting program. For those of you who are nerdy enough to do air permitting like me, you know that much of what we do is we try to actually avoid triggering thresholds by, installing equipment, installing operational controls, et cetera. This statement is just a statement of intent. It's certainly, I'm not submitting it as binding law, but on June 12th of 2015, the governor's office did issue a statement, and I won't opine as to what drove that statement or what the intent was. I'll just read it verbatim, and then I'll give you my take for what it means to the program, and I think it's actually important clarification that we might, as a committee, actually consider exploring. It could be a valuable thing that we could talk about. The governor said that the TCEQ can recognize an ad valorem tax exemption under Chapter 111 of the tax code for a property that complies with or prevents the applicability of a federal rule without conceding the legality or policy merits of the rule. So my take of that is it says two things. One is, let's take the second one first. EPA is going to be in a state of litigation against certain federal rules. I suspect they will continue to do so, like many other states. That doesn't change the fact that regulated entities are subject to the risk of that regulation coming into place, right? And in fact, it might be a final rule that they are governed by, but still subject to litigation. And absent a stay, it is important what the governor's statement says, that that rule can survive for purposes of Prop 2 requirements, even though the state is contesting its legality. It's important clarification. I think that's one thing it says. The first part of his statement talks about to prevent the applicability of environmental law I think that would be something that we could take up as a committee to talk about what that might mean. Clearly, in the PSD context, a lot of the work that's done to control pollutants is done to prevent triggering a permitting requirement. So one could submit that is a fair way of looking at carbon capture if it's utilized, even at projects that aren't triggering permitting requirements because they're installing it to prevent the applicability of that requirement. And then I would add a very important thing, which is 11.31K, and what the legislature passed had a very clear statement that that the equipment that was listed on that list, which included carbon dioxide, was pollution control equipment, so long as EPA was regulating carbon dioxide as a pollutant. It didn't specify the program they had to regulate it at. It just said that. And so does that mean it's always 100%? Nope. But in terms of the threshold requirement of whether there's an adequate environmental law, those things definitely are all inputs to our discussion if we want to have that in a more formal way.
Any other questions, comments?
Yeah, Adam Haynes again commented. Just say, Mike, I appreciate you, and as always, I'll look to your leadership and certainly knowledge of the permitting process. It just seems regulatorily confusing, if that's the right word, to me, to the business community, and obviously we're always trying to make sure that the county stay as good partners with the business community. But if we are as a state vehemently, I agree with your word, Mike, opposing the inclusion of carbon dioxide as a regulatory pollutant, yet we're providing incentives to businesses to prevent CO2 as a pollutant from going into the atmosphere, it doesn't seem like we're sending a consistent message there. So, I certainly know the business community is always looking for consistency. And so just that comment.
Yeah, Adam, it's a really good point, and I might not have been adequately clear. I definitely believe, based on just the filings of the Attorney General's office, that Texas will contest the EPA's current use of Section 111, but there is no pending case challenging EPA's regulation of carbon dioxide as a pollutant under the statute generally, and the law of the land for PSD permitting of carbon dioxide is settled, and TCEQ is administering that program, is doing reviews of CO2 BACT, I don't know about every day, but on a consistent basis as part of their current delegated program.
Okay.
That doesn't make me happy, Adam. It just is the state of the law.
Do you know...
You're
up to speed on these proposals. You know, the proposal on the clean power sector is obviously focused on plants that produce electricity, right? Are there similar proposals from EPA for major industrial facilities, so refineries, steel plants, cement plants, other things that produce a lot of CO2, or are they not that far along? There's actual proposals out there.
I'll certainly defer to anybody else who has more information, but I'm aware that EPA, I don't think it's in their unified agenda, Cyrus, that they've posted out there as kind of their planned regulatory regime, but in various forum over the last several months, EPA has indicated that it will be doing reviews under 111. Again, it's important to keep this separate. The EPA's current administration of the PSD program and EPA's administration of it is for all industrial sources, not just power plants, okay? So if you're anyway federal permit source, there's CO2 reviews going across all sectors. The 111 rule, as Cyrus has brought up, is power plant specific, gas and coal in particular. And in order for EPA to step to, say, oil and gas refining, petrochemicals or steel or other source categories, it will need to make a finding that that pot of emissions is significantly contributing to endangerment. It has not made that threshold finding for any other sector. So time will tell, but they will.
Realistically, we're several years away from that.
I would agree with that, Cyrus.
Mr. Chair, if I may. Sure. Mike, I'm an Aggie, so you might have to bring me along just a little slower, if you don't mind. I'm going to go back to CO2 has been determined by the federal government to be a pollutant. And so this avoidance of a threshold, so your belief is, and I'm not arguing the point, but seeking my own understanding, that investments in place for avoidance of thresholds are covered.
They certainly could be. I definitely would not submit that an across-the-board statement like that couldn't be blown up. I think the committee could have a pretty good discussion and provide some meaningful guidance to the commission about circumstances that we think meet that so that it doesn't get abused, because I think that's one of the things our committee does is keep the commission from going too far down the road, but finding things that we can agree upon. So I think in the PSD permitting threshold, Lloyd, it's going to be easier for us to know kind of the group of facilities that might be able to actually meet that test. And we could use some examples, and I'm sure the staff could work with us to talk about that. Saying that somebody's doing something out there that magically keeps a reg from applying to it, generally, I'm not going there. I don't think that is the question before us. And carbon dioxide capture is a very expensive technology happening at pretty significant facilities, and we probably could keep that net tight about what we'd be talking about if we decided to give more advice about that.
Well, I think there's opportunity there, to your point, for fruitful conversation. I really do. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Lloyd.
Mike, can I clarify one point from you? And that is, I think you said that TCEQ is not currently administering industrial. Is that right? Just the power plant sector?
I did not say that.
Okay.
Definitely want TCEQ permitting and legal to weigh in here, because
I meant CCUS, of course.
But right. The CO2, you know, BACT review that they do is across any sector that is required. Otherwise, it's called an otherwise source. Mm-hmm. Is otherwise required to have a permit. It's got to go ahead and do CO2 along with the other pollutants, and that is not unique to a sector. It's any federal permit holder.
So if I hesitate cutting to the chase here.
Yeah.
But what was up on the screen a couple of minutes ago, the advice, the recommendation. So maybe she can pull that up again. It's gone. That's all right. I can find it.
It's there.
Okay, all right. So would it be true if you just replaced power plant with the words industrial sources or something like that? Would that be true?
It would be. I don't want to read anybody's prior vote.
Yes,
it was
right.
a little easier of a call because power plants are large sources that mm-hmm. pretty much all have PSD permits. Well, all have PSD permits, the ones that would be considering CCUS. Industrial source generally might be a little too broad to garner the same consensus, but it is legally accurate. And I will just tell you, my position, with total deference to the committee about what kind of advice we want to give, is that as far as the legal requirement to satisfy the Constitution, an adequate set of laws exist to satisfy that. Now, how we give guidance that's productive to the committee is really where we fill in the details. So that would be a good place to start with a new piece of advice.
And to clarify, my point of that question was not to drive us to to that direction right now. I'm simply trying to understand if that's a correct statement.
Yes.
Then we can have a discussion from there.
Yeah, and you and one thing to everybody to be thinking about till the next time we talk about it is we might modify that statement with some reference to the PSD program, because that's clearly, we might invoke the regulation 55.21 to make sure we put guardrails on that not being misinterpreted as just applying to any old project at a small site.
Okay. Any other questions, discussion, concerns? Anyone from the public? I don't know who all is online in the public, but we welcome your concern, your comments too. I acknowledge this can be a sensitive subject, and it's still relatively new as far as there's not a lot of projects, but I think there's growing interest, which makes it a more than a minute part of business. I mean, it's part of reality. And that was not intended as a setup for anything. That was just a recognition of reality. Any other comments? I'm not trying to stretch this out, but I do want to provide an adequate opportunity for discussion. Have we adequately discussed this issue for now? If I don't hear anything, I'll take that as a yes.
I did have a question for TCEQ if they've had, maybe they already answered this, and if they did, forgive me. So have we seen any additional applications for CCUS other than the Petronova, since the Petronova?
This is Elizabeth again. No, we have not received another application.
Okay, great.
For carbon capture since Petronova.
All right. Any other questions? I realize questions might come to us even 5 minutes after we adjourn. We can continue to talk. I encourage, I'm not trying to stir this, but if committee members, of course, you want to talk to each other, welcome that too. Feel free to call me. Not that I can guarantee a lot of answers. One last time. All right. Old business. I have a couple of items in old business that I want to mention, and one is the nominations. As I understand it from our last meeting, this is a question of TCEQ staff. Nominations memo is expected November 22nd for the December 13th meeting, I think, as I recall, for the commissioners. Is that correct?
Yes, Bob, that's correct.
Okay. And also, we presented almost a year ago, December 1st, 2022, the Advisor Committee of Advice regarding Tier 1. We presented that to the commissioners with anticipation of a long lead time to hopefully be voted on in December of this year. Is that on schedule, or will that be part of the memo?
It won't be part of the memo. We are not on schedule. We've had some staffing challenges, like many folks have, and a very large workload in the section. So that item has been delayed, and I have no timeline at this point.
Okay. So there still could be time for us to amend our advice way back then. If, for example, an EPA methane rule comes out this month and we review it in a few months. I don't know if how quickly it'll take us to consider that. But
I think that's fair to say. Yeah, any advice you submit, we would consider.
Okay. New business. Just to let you know, I expect to, so the committee, if you will, expect an email from me, as I do this time of year, every year pretty much, to check your availability for 2024 meeting dates. And please check those, and I appreciate everyone putting it on their calendars. I can send a meeting invite to everyone if you really want, especially since we're on Teams. I guess maybe we could, I don't know if TCQ would be open to submitting Teams invites to the committee for the four meetings coming up. Or if you'd rather not get into that part of the administration, I understand.
I think we could do that. My hesitation is setting the meeting options and then the link potentially changing.
Okay, got you. All right. But that could be changed. You could update a team's.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. And also the last item, I jumped into new business before I asked for any additional old business, if anybody has any old business. All right. My other item on new business is, just to let you know, I delayed election of the 2024 chair of this committee, primarily because there are pending nominations out there. So I anticipate moving that. We're required by bylaws, of course, to have an annual election of the chair. So that I anticipate that being the first quarter of next year, having that election. So that's all the items I have under the other category. And I'm open to any comments, any additional old business or new business, for that matter. We've got a question from the audience, Mr. Labah.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is a matter of personal.
Wait, is the?
Am I on?
No, you're not on.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members, thank you for seeing me on this matter of personal privilege. I've just been the creepy guy in the second row for years. In case y'all don't know, I represent the Association of Electric Companies of Texas, Texas Oil and Gas Association, Texas Chemical Council, and Texas Association of Manufacturers. And this is my farewell to this group. It's been a fine advisory committee. I think the testimony record would show in ways and means that I testified against the creation of this committee. And but it has been exactly the opposite of what I was afraid it was going to be, which was a political debating society. It has not become that. It's remained a technical advising body, and the chairman, our only chairman, has been an instrumental part of that. But the entire group, I thank everybody for their professionalism and sort of sticking to the knitting of this, the business of this committee. So thank you. Please keep up the good work, and I'll see you in the newspaper.
All right. Thank you, James. It's my understanding he's retiring in the year.
He's retiring?
Retirement.
Say that again. I only heard part of it.
It's Adam Haynes. I move we not accept James LaBaugh's retirement.
Okay. Got it.
We need him around. We need him around to kick, as the old sage, you won't have me to kick around anymore. But.
He might be available to be our sage or something, to just to give us some wisdom.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, thank you, James. Do appreciate your professionalism over the years and your input.
Lobbyists don't retire. They just hang out in the Capitol cafeteria is what I've seen.
All right. Any other comments from the public or the committee? A longer pause there. All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mike Nancy to adjourn. Who was the second?
Cyrus.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, no.
Aye.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.